Esther and Atonement. The Jews traditionally read the Book of Jonah on the Day of Atonement. But the Book of Esther also has surprising parallels to Leviticus, focusing on atonement. At first glance, the stories of Esther and Atonement don't seem to have much in common, but the links are there. How are such links uncovered? Bible texts are probably related if they use words in common, especially rare words, or if they have themes in common. In the internet era, we are actually quite familiar with this concept. We know it by the term hyperlink. Let's look at some examples. One very familiar Bible hyperlink occurs between Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1. Both verses begin with the words, "In the beginning." The Bible is making a link between these two verses. Noah's Ark is hyperlinked to Moses' basket through the use of the Hebrew word teva. Moses' mother, Jochebed, put baby Moses into a basket called a teva, which is the same word used for Noah's Ark. Teva is not used anywhere else in the Bible outside these two stories. Each story helps interpret the other. When both stories are considered together, deeper insights come out. The story of Cain and Abel is hyperlinked to the story of Isaac and Ishmael. Both are hyperlinked to atonement. In all three, one is killed, one is sent away, though Isaac technically was saved from death at the last second. These three are connected thematically. Hyperlinking is one of the ways the Bible is organized. You can see many of these hyperlinks in English translations, but some, like teva, ark, or basket, only show up when you examine the underlying Hebrew. Margin notes in paper Bibles or superscripts in online Bibles will often link to verses with similar language. It takes more effort to study the Bible this way, but, as Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. So what hyperlinks can we uncover between Esther and Atonement? Esther describes the deliverance of the Jews from the hand of the evil Haman. It is the basis for the Feast of Purim, which the Jews celebrate on Adar 14 on the Hebrew calendar, which is February or March on the Roman calendar. Well, for starters, look at the names of the feasts. What we call the Day of Atonement in the Bible is called Yom Kippurim, Purim, Kippurim. The short answer is Purim and Kippurim have different root words but end up being pronounced the same. Purim is derived from the word for lots, meaning something like dice. The word pur is only used in Esther, as in Esther 9:26. Therefore, these days are called Purim, from the word pur. Kippurim is derived from a totally different word, kafar, which means to cover. It is only used in the Torah. Well, what is the only feast to involve the casting of lots? Atonement, where lots are cast to choose which goat is sacrificed and which goat is sent away. Consider this minor parallel, this minor hyperlink between Esther and Atonement. Look at when Esther was made queen. Esther 2, verse 16. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, into his royal house, in the 10th month, which is the 10th month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Isn't it interesting? Esther's coronation, in the 7th year, 10th month. Atonement, 7th month, 10th day. Here's another small one. King Ahasuerus holds a 7-day feast for the people of Shushan after his 180-day feast for the nobles. Esther 1:6 describes the colorful decorations of that feast. Beginning in verse 5, and when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small. In the court of the garden of the king's palace, there was white and blue, tekelet blue, linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple on silver rods and marble pillars. And the couches were of gold and silver. Well, that sounds like a copy of the consecration of the Aaronic priesthood in Exodus 29, verse 35, which reads, "So you shall do for Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you, you shall ordain them for 7 days." And notice the colors of the priest's garments in Exodus 28, verse 4, "And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. They shall take the gold, blue, tekelet blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen." Curiously, the word for marble in Esther 1:6 is the same word as linen in Exodus 28:5. I don't know why. The people of Shushan are looking at Ahasuerus' wardrobe as if it's the wardrobe of the high priest. Our attention is being drawn to parallels between the Aaronic priesthood and the characters in the book of Esther. Now, this is a major hyperlink, which I'll spend some time on, the inner sanctum rules. There are rules about entering the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle, or the inner court of King Ahasuerus. In Esther 4:11, we read, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king in the inner court who is not summoned, he only has one law, and that he be put to death unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days." That's Esther speaking. Likewise, in Leviticus 16, verse 1, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the atoning cover, which is on the ark, or he will die.' Now Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, did not follow the rules about entering the Holy of Holies, and they died for it. We often review the rules of entering the Holy of Holies on atonement. Only the high priest can enter, only once a year, while fasting, with sacrifices. If he does it wrong, he dies, like Nadab and Abihu. Well, what about Esther? In Esther 4, verse 15, "Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather all the Jews who are found in Shushan, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will also fast in the same way. And then I will go into the king, which is not in accordance with the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him." Not only does Esther fast, but all the Jews in Shushan fast as well, just like in Israel on atonement. The Israelites all fast, not just the high priest. Only Esther can enter the king's inner court. It reminds me of the verse about coming boldly before the throne, which is Hebrews 4:16. Only the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies, and only Jesus could enter the Holy of Holies in heaven itself. Queen Vashti was banished like the Azazel. Queen Esther was willing to die trying to save her people. One sacrificed, one sent away. Vashti disobeyed the king and was sent away. Esther also had to disobey, but she is spared. The first thing the high priest has to do to enter the Holy of Holies is offer a sacrifice for his sins. That's Leviticus 16:6. Esther has to come clean to the king because she has never told him that she was a Jew. So these are not the only parallels or hyperlinks between Esther and Leviticus, but they give a sense of the hyperlinks that are there. The themes of atonement, like one sacrificed, one sent away, and fasting, and rules for entering sacred space, are all themes of the Book of Esther too. Now that the Bible itself has drawn these parallels, that is, shown us these hyperlinks, we can begin to think more deeply about the stories together and meditate on them. One technique is to look for similarities and differences between the stories. One obvious difference is that in Esther, the deliverer is a woman. Now, I said earlier that Vashti and Esther were like the two goats. Vashti sent away, Esther willing to die. But we also see Esther parallel the actions of the high priest by entering the king's presence. Another major difference between Esther and atonement is that the Jews rescue themselves in the Esther story. King Ahasuerus granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and to defend their lives. That's Esther 8:11. No such parallel exists in Leviticus 16. The high priest makes atonement for himself and the whole of Israel. The people are only required to fast, not fight. Another way to meditate on these hyperlinked stories is to consider the characters. Note how Ahasuerus parallels God, Mordecai parallels Moses, Esther parallels Aaron. But who is the parallel of Haman or his 10 sons who were killed? Haman seems to picture the second goat in that his sins are put on his own head. However, he does not bear the sins of the nation. The goat mentioned in Leviticus 16:22, then that goat shall carry on itself all their wrongdoings. In other words, look for places where the analogy fits and look for places where the analogy breaks down. I had two purposes here: to show how the Bible uses hyperlinks to bring stories together, and to use Esther and Leviticus to show how those hyperlinks bring us more understanding. I encourage you to read the book of Esther and look for the other hyperlinks, and to meditate on the multiple atonement narratives in the Bible.